TV Bible Study is a serious effort to study in depth every word of God. Each 30-minute lesson has been carefully arranged to assist you with your study of God's Word. And now for your TV Bible Study teacher, Richard Rogers.
Welcome again to TV Bible Study. This is the third lesson in the first period of division after Solomon's death. You remember that Solomon's apostasy was the reason why God had to divide the kingdom into Israel on the north and Judah on the south. Solomon's son Rehoboam was a stupid young man. He refused to listen to the wisdom of the old men that had ruled with his father, listened instead to the young men. And because of that, because of Jeroboam's insistence upon worshiping an idol, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah began to fight each other. There is an alliance during the time of Ahab, who we studied last time, between Israel and Judah. And God isn't pleased with that at all. He wanted Israel and Judah to live separate lives. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. As we'll see in today's lesson, as we look at the problem of Jehoshaphat's association with Ahab. Now, we didn't quite get through with Ahab last time. So I want you to turn to 1 Kings 22 with me, and let's look at another warning prophet. We looked at Ahab as a man having a wanton wife, as a wayward king, a warrior with a bad attitude, and as one who refused to listen to the warning of the prophets. Elijah had done his best. God had done his best through Elijah to turn Ahab from the wickedness of his ways at Carmel and at Sinai and at Naboth's vineyard, where finally Ahab made his payday. But before that payday, in 1 Kings 22, God sends one of the little-known prophets of the Bible. You might think his name is very similar to the writing prophet Micaiah, or Micah. But Micaiah is the great man of God that stood and one last time tried to get Ahab to quit following wickedness. Now, Micaiah is mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 22. Now, we're not going to read this whole chapter. You need to read it. Please do so. Jehoshaphat and Ahab make an alliance to go out and fight against Ramoth Gilead. And Jehoshaphat, being a man of God, wants to inquire of Jehovah. Look at verse 5 of chapter 22. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Inquire today, I pray thee, for the word of Jehovah." Verse 6, "Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men." Now, there had been 850 on Carmel, and now there's only 400. What happened to the other 450? Oh, you remember. Elijah took them down to the valley of Kishon and slew them on one stone. And so he's killed over half of the prophets of Baal, and now the rest of the prophets of Baal will stand before another man of God, Micaiah. The king of Israel, Ahab, wicked, vile man. One man said that he was the vilest toad that ever squatted on any throne. And I really believe that to be true. He asked of his 400 Baal prophets, "Shall I go up against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I prevail?" And so they say in verse 6, "Go up and prevail. The Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." Now, Jehoshaphat knows that in Ahab's kingdom there cannot be 400 good prophets. And so he asked in verse 7, "Is there not a prophet of Jehovah here besides these that we may inquire of him?" Verse 8 is the greatest compliment ever paid a prophet. Ahab, the king of Israel, said in Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, but I hate him." A man is not only judged by the friends he has, but by the enemies he makes. And Micaiah is bound to be one of the great servants of God, because Ahab, the most wicked man, says, "But I hate him. For he doth never prophesy good concerning me, but evil." Jehoshaphat said, "Don't say that. Go get the man and let him come and tell us whether we ought to go up to Ramoth Gilead or not." They go and get him, beginning in verse 13, out of prison. And the person who goes to get him says, "All of the prophets speak good with one mouth unto the king. See that thou speak the same." That's good advice. That's great advice. If Micaiah doesn't want to go back to prison, he better watch his words before the king. But Micaiah is a man to whom kings meant nothing. There are 4 points that I want us to see about Micaiah. Let's look at them, and then we'll discuss them. Number one, Micaiah is a man to whom kings mean nothing. Number two, Micaiah is a man to whom the Word of God is the only important thing. Number three, Micaiah is a man who knows the wicked will reap what they sow. And number four, Micaiah is a man not afraid of persecution. Now let's look at those. The kings mean absolutely nothing to him because he says very simply when he's told, see that you speak good like the rest speak, he says in verse 14, 1 Kings 22, as Jehovah liveth, what Jehovah said unto me, that will I speak. Now, while he's been in prison, and while they've been going after him in prison, Zedekiah, the leader of those Baal prophets, had taken horns of iron and put them on his head and said, with horns like this, will you push the Syrians? They all be gone. Preaching before a king made a fool of him. But kings don't mean anything to Micaiah. The Word of God is the only important thing to him. He said in verse 16, or 15, 14 it is, what Jehovah has said unto me, that will I speak. And he says in verse 28, if you come back at all, Jehovah's not spoken by me. He has one important thing. He speaks for God. That's the only thing important in Micaiah's life. He'll do it in prison. He'll do it out of prison. He'll do it eating steak. He'll do it eating bread and water. It doesn't matter to Micaiah. One thing's important. The Word of God. He goes before Ahab, and Ahab says, what's your word? And Micaiah says, go out and prosper. The Lord will deliver it to your hand, but evidently spoke sarcastically. Because Ahab turned to Jehoshaphat and said in verse 18, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me but evil? He is not pleased when Micaiah tells him to go out and prosper. He's not pleased when Micaiah tells him the truth and says that he sees Israel scattered upon the hill as sheep that have no shepherd. You can't please the wicked anyway, so why try to? Just speak the Word of God and not worry about who it pleases or who it doesn't please, who it does not please. And so the king of Israel says, carry that man back to prison and feed him on the bread of affliction and on the water of affliction until I return at peace. On his way back to prison, Micaiah looks over his shoulder and says to him in verse 28, if you come back at all, God has not spoken by me. Hear ye the people, all of you. What happened? Ahab went to the field of battle. Ahab says in the latter portion of chapter 22 to Jehoshaphat, says, you wear the king's robes today. I'll go just looking like an ordinary soldier. He's trying to keep him getting killed. He wants Jehoshaphat out front because the king of Syria has said, don't fight against anybody except Ahab. Don't fight anybody, don't try to kill anybody but Ahab. Who looks like Ahab? The guy there in the royal robe. It's Jehoshaphat. And so everybody starts zeroing in on Jehoshaphat. But Jehoshaphat cries out, I'm not Ahab, I'm not Ahab. So they don't kill him. Guy has an arrow. It's in the bow. What's he going to do with this arrow he's got in the bow? He pulls it and draws it and shoots it at a venture. Shot an arrow into the air where it fell. He didn't know where, but God did. It smote Ahab in the groove between the armor, it says. When a man is robed for battle, there's only one place an arrow could go. It's in a little groove right in the middle of his back. That's the very place and the only place that arrow was intended by God to go. Ahab dies in the field of Naboth the vineyard, and dogs lick his blood, just as Elijah prophesied he would. Micaiah, I believe, teaches a lesson most needed today. In a day when we're being asked to compromise everything, we need to learn to be uncompromising. In a day when very few people stand for God, it needs to be able to be said of us, as it was of Micaiah, there is yet one man. Now, there are 4 kings left in this period, and we need to look at them very quickly in the some 18 minutes that remain in today's lesson. The next king after Ahab has died that we need to consider is Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat had reigned during the same time that Ahab reigned. Turn over to 2 Chronicles, chapter 17. For 4 chapters, 17, 18, 19, and 20, we have recorded the reign of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is a good king. Number one, we'll see Jehoshaphat an active reformer as he tries to purge all of the false religion from his land of Judah. We'll see him as a successful builder and we'll see him as a foolish soldier. Sounds rather strange, doesn't it? A guy that was an active reformer, a successful builder, you'd think would end up being a good soldier. He's not. He trusts God in his reforming. He trusts God in his building, but he makes an alliance with Ahab in his war. Whenever the righteous make an alliance with the wicked, God is never pleased. But look at 2 Chronicles 17 and read with me the first few verses. And Jehoshaphat, his son, that's the son of Asa. Now, Asa had started out a good king, but ended up bad. Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. There's his building program. He built strong garrisons and fortresses throughout the land. But here's his character, starting in verse 3. And Jehovah was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David. That's interesting, isn't it? You remember in our study of David in several lessons ago, how David at the very beginning of his life was a perfect, a mature, and a righteous man, but lifted up in pride and lifted up in lust, he committed two or three very evil deeds in the latter part of his life. Ended still the friend of God and still saved and still the righteous man, but it said of Jehoshaphat, he walked in the first ways of David. It says in the latter portion of 3, and he sought not unto the Balaam. The Baal worship of Israel has already found its way in the righteous Judah. Verse 4, it says, but he sought to the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore, verse 5, therefore Jehovah established all the kingdom in his hand. And all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat tribute, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Here is the reason for his success. It is his faithfulness to walk in the ways of David. Now, you may be getting tired of me stressing that. I'm not going to get tired of stressing it. I'm going to continue to stress it. In all of the study of the kings, that's the lesson of kings. The lesson of kings is when you do right and you follow the will of God, honor, glory, and abundance follow. When you don't, dishonor, shame, and poverty, and destruction follow. God shows himself strong on behalf of those whose heart are perfect toward him. And Jehoshaphat shows that. There's an interesting statement in verse 6. His heart was lifted up in the ways of Jehovah, and furthermore, he took away the high places and the Asherim out of Judah. Normally, whenever the Bible says a man's heart was lifted up, it's bad. Because normally it's lifted up in himself, in his pride, in his money, in his power, in his possessions and his things and in something of his own. But here it says his heart was lifted up in the ways of Jehovah. He was proud of God. And he was proud of all the ways of God. It is impossible for us not to be proud. You need to be like Jehoshaphat, lifted up in the ways of God, pleased with what God is doing, pleased with the will of God, pleased with the word of God. So Jehoshaphat is an active reformer. He's taking out the Asherim. He's cutting down, turning down the Baal God. He's restoring the true worship of God. And the reason for that is that his heart is lifted up in God. An interesting statement is also in verses 7 through 9 of chapter 17. He not only reformed the land by purging it, he reformed the worship by setting up teachers to teach Israel. Verse 7, also in the third year of his reign, he didn't wait long to start. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent his princes, even Ben-Hail and Obadiah and Zechariah and Nathanael and Micaiah, that's interesting, that may be Micaiah the prophet, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with him the Levites, even Shammai and Nathaniah and Zebediah and Asahel and Shemamoth and Jephaniah and Adonijah and Tobijah, can you pronounce those words? Neither can I. And Tobadonijah the Levite, and with him Eshlamah and Jehoram the priest. And they taught in Judah, having the book of the law of Jehovah with them. And they went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught among the people. How does faith come? Sometimes today we believe that faith comes by looking at the life of a good Christian man. Or faith comes by seeing miracles performed. Faith only confirms the word that causes. Miracles only confirm the word that causes faith. This text says they taught the word. In Romans chapter 10, what is it, verse 16? He says, so faith comes by hearing, 17, and hearing by the word of God. He is an active, good reformer, successful builder, but he's a foolish soldier. If you read of that in chapter 18, we read of it earlier in 1 Kings 22. He makes an alliance with Ahab against Syria. He could whip Syria alone. He can't whip them with Ahab. Sometimes you're weakened by addition and grow by subtraction. And that's really the case in Jehoshaphat's life. He grows by the addition, he would have grown by the subtraction of Ahab from his life. And he did grow by the subtraction of all the Baal gods and all of the influence of Ahab out of his nation. He puts away all of the evil religious influences of Ahab out of his nation, but then he turns and makes an alliance with him. The people of God should never make an alliance with the world. We need to realize that God and people of God by themselves are always victorious. People of God allied with the people of the world are always defeated. Jehoshaphat is rebuked by Micaiah for this alliance. Micaiah would not have said anything at all except for Jehoshaphat being there. He's not only rebuked by Micaiah before the battle, when he goes home in chapter 19 of 2 Chronicles, he's rebuked by Jehu, the son of Hananiah, when he gets home. And Jehu came and told him, because of this alliance that you have made with Ahab, you will not be able to be successful in battle. Lord, Jehoshaphat repented. And he prayed that God would forgive him. And in chapter 20, he went against the Moabites and the Ammonites and was greatly outnumbered. They brought nearly 1 million men to that war. And Jehoshaphat only has about 180,000 people. But he became poor in spirit. And he said in chapter 20 in verse 12, I want you to read this one with me. Now and then there comes an Old Testament passage that just jumps off the page at you and reminds you of New Testament teaching. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Whenever a man gets poor in spirit, God can rule his life. Now let's watch Jehoshaphat here as he gets poor enough in spirit for God to rule his life. Verse 12, he says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. He says, we don't have any power to stand before them. We don't know what to do. We don't have strength. We don't have knowledge. We don't have wisdom. But we're just looking to you. So verse 13 says, and all Judah stood before Jehovah with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Whenever the leader humbles himself, people humble themselves. Whenever the leader seeks Jehovah, the people seek Jehovah. Like the leader, so the people. All the people are humble before Jehovah. So Jehovah rains down upon the Syrians, upon the Moabites and the Syrians, the Edomites, a great storm, an enemy around him. And Jehoshaphat is victorious. And Moab and Ammon and Edom are despoiled. And that without Jehoshaphat fighting. Jehovah fought for him. Jehovah shows himself strong on behalf of those who are strong toward him. When Jehoshaphat made his alliance with Ahab, he lost. When he made an alliance with God, he won. Where do you think your alliance ought to be? Ought it be with the world and all of its riches and all of its things and all of its lies and all of its wisdom? Ought it to be with God, with His Word, and with His testimony? Jehoshaphat, he is a great king. Ahaziah is the next king that we need to study. And turn back to 1 Kings to get that done. If you've noticed, we've gone back and forth from 1 Kings to 1 and 2 Chronicles, and I should have mentioned that. I'll just make a point of it now. The book of 1 and 2 Kings is parallel to the book of 2 Chronicles. And 2 Chronicles emphasizes emphasizes Judah, while 1 and 2 Kings emphasizes Israel. We need to know that, or we'll not understand why we have to turn back and forth. Very little is said about Judah in the book of 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, and nothing is said about Israel. Nothing. There's no life of any king of Israel discussed in the book of 2 Chronicles. Back in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 51, Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And he reigned 2 years over Israel. So now we're back in Israel's history. And Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, is reigning. He's discussed in verse 52. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, and he walked in the ways of his father, and in the ways of his mother, Jezebel, and in the ways of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, wherewith he made Israel to sin. And he served Baal and worshipped him, and provoked to anger Jehovah the God of Israel, according to all that his father had done. That's all we know about Ahaziah. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, was a very weak man. All he did was imitate Ahab. He was guilty of idolatry. In 2 Kings chapter 3, his brother, the second son of Ahab, begins to reign in Israel. Chapter 3, verse 1 of 2 Kings. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, notice the son of Ahab, second son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 12 years. He did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, but not like his father and like his mother. For he put away the pillar of Baal that his father has made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, wherewith he made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. Now, there are three things, very quickly, about Jehoram of Israel. Jehoram defeated Moab. And the reason for that was he, for one time, listened to Elisha, the prophet of God. Most of the kings of Israel didn't listen to prophets of God. Elisha made a prophecy that it would rain and give his army strength. It rained. The Moabites looked on the rain with the sun shining on it and thought it was blood. And they said, the king of Israel, Jehoram, the king of Judah, Ahaziah, are warring with one another. Let's go down and beat them while they're warring with one another. But he went down in the strongest camp that Israel and Judah ever had. And so God brought them into the place where they were able to be defeated by Jehoram of Israel and Ahaziah of Judah. The second thing we'll remember about Jehoram is he was killed by Jehu, the fast chariot driver. Now we'll study that next time. Jehu is the most powerful king, and all of his sons are powerful, that Israel ever had. Here will be, starting with Jehu, the golden age of Israel's history as far as military, political, and economic wealth. It'll also be the low water mark morally. But Jehoram is killed by Jehu and is the last of Ahab's house to be king. In 2 Kings chapter 8, beginning with verse 16, you have the reign of Jehoram of Judah. Please try to keep those separate. It's hard to do. You've got Jehoram of Israel. He's the last king of Ahab's reign. You've got Jehoram of Judah. He's a wicked king with a wicked wife. In 2 Kings 8, beginning with verse 16, read with me. In the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat being then king of Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, began to reign. So he reigned co-regent with his father, Jehoshaphat. 32 years old was when he began to reign. He reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. Verse 18, he's a wicked king. He walked in the ways of the king of Israel, as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. We'll find out her name in chapter 11. Her name is Athaliah, the second most wicked woman that ever lived, preceded in wickedness only by her good mother Jezebel. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. He did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah. What would Jehovah do? Will he do what he does down in Israel? Will he take away the reign from David's house and give it to someone else? He can't do that. Look at verse 19. Howbeit, Jehovah would not destroy Judah for David his servant's sake, for he promised him to give him a lamp for his children always. He will not destroy David's line, even when there's an ungodly man like Jehoram upon the throne. Jehoram had a wicked wife. And because he had a wicked wife that led him into immorality and into religious apostasy, he was a king defeated by an external enemy. You'll read that in 2 Chronicles 21. We're not going to go read it. You read it. You need to read it. But in 2 Chronicles 21, verse 16 and 17, against him came the Philistines, the Arabians, and Ethiopians. They entered the city of Jerusalem. They defeated the city. They sacked all of the city, took booty of all the city and left Jehoram to rule over the remnant, ragtag remnant that was left there. Jehoram should have repented. But when a man commits adultery with a woman, he's void of understanding. At this time, the first writing prophet writes his book. Obadiah prophesies during this period of time. And Obadiah has a theme that Jehoram need to listen to. The theme was the doom of Edom because of the cruelty against his brother Judah. And that's exactly what Jehoram was guilty of. In marrying Athaliah, in bringing the Baal worship into the land, he was guilty of cruelty against his brother. The message that Obadiah preached to Edom needed to be heard by Israel. And that message was that pride precedes destruction. Obadiah says in verse 3, because of the pride of thy heart hath deceived thee, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who'll bring me down from sin? Though thou mount on high as the eagle, and though thy nest be set among the stars, I will bring thee down from sin, saith Jehovah. I think that in the midst of our military might, in the midst of our financial prosperity, it might be good for us to remember that it's faith in Jehovah and not the abundance of our possession or the strength of our arms that will preserve us. And the lesson that Obadiah is trying to teach is also a lesson that Jehoram needs, and that is the violence of silence. He says in the day, in verse 10, in the day thou stoodest on the other side, thou wast all together as one of them. You see, when we don't take a stand for the right, we take a stand for the wrong. People, let's learn that we dare not trust in strongholds that are not strong. And when we trust in men, and when we trust in manners, and when we trust in military might, we trust in strongholds that aren't strong. Like Jehoshaphat, let's set our heart to seek God, to find His Word, to teach it among the people, and to do it with all of our life. If we do that, then God will give us all kind of peace in believing. Thank you.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness.
These lessons are available on video cassette tapes for use with video cassette players or TV station broadcasting. Audio cassette tapes are also available. This systematic study of the Bible was designed for a variety of uses: teacher training programs, substitute teacher needs, community Bible study programs on local TV, and hospital closed circuit programs, to mention a few. God bless your study of His Word.
I am the way and the truth and the life.